where are Maine schools in the transition to standards-based education and proficiency-based diplomas? In 2012, the Maine legislature passed a law requiring all Maine public schools to transition to a standards-based educational system. Under the new system, students would be required to show proficiency in meeting standards in core areas in order to receive their diploma. Since 2012, school districts have been working diligently to change their approach and curricula to conform with the new law. Different districts have approached the change in different ways, and some are further along than others. Parents in some districts have pushed back against the changes, and others have embraced them. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we'll discuss the move towards proficiency-based education in Maine and what needs to be done for students going forward. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From the MPBN studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. You may have heard the term proficiency-based education, but really don't understand what that means. You're not alone. The standards-based teaching and grading system is complicated to explain, and even more so to implement. We'll hear from educators from around the state on what Maine students and teachers will be learning in this coming school year and in the years to come. Joining me from our studio, Tina Meserve is superintendent of RSU 16 in Poland. Erica Stump is a research associate with the Center for Education Policy, Applied Research and Evaluation at the University of Southern Maine. And joining us from our Bangor studio, Betsy Webb, she is superintendent of the Bangor School Department. Joining us on the live line soon, we hope, Julia Lefevre, who teaches 7th grade math and science at Mahoney Middle School. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you seen proficiency-based education at work in your schools? Is this something that's a topic of conversation among you and your friends? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Erica, I'd like to start really broadly about the philosophy behind what we called for a while standards-based education, I understand now calling proficiency-based education. What are we hoping as a state to accomplish by implementing this new system?
Sure. And I think that, as you said, it's difficult to distinguish, but that many teachers in Maine especially do distinguish between standards-based education and proficiency-based diplomas. So the standards-based education reform has been around in the United States for a long time, since the 80s, and it's based on the idea that curriculum and learning is based on a common standard. Proficiency-based education, as it is defined here in Maine, is saying not that your learning is based on standards, but that you have met a standard in order to progress, or in this case, achieve a diploma, earn a diploma. So the philosophy is that all students, and that's one of the discussions, but yes, all students in Maine are required to demonstrate that they can learn certain things that are commonly agreed upon. And I think in the work that we have done in our research, we certainly see that there is a theoretical agreement. Teachers, parents, politicians, academics all believe that there should be a common standard that all students work towards. The debate is around what that standard is and where you put the line in the sand, and is it the same for every child, and what level is it, is the accountability. So there's a larger idea in terms of developing a common language and a common standard, but then defining what that commonality is the difficulty.
All right. Well, Tina Meserve, bringing you into the conversation here. I understand that Poland implemented a version of this years before this was Maine state law, so really have more experience with this kind of approach to learning. Tell me how Poland schools have been different and how the Maine law has or hasn't changed what you do there.
in Poland Regional High School was opened in 1999. So they started the school with the concept of wanting to be a standards-based or proficiency-based high school. And since that time, we have certainly gotten more sophisticated in how we determine whether a child has met proficiency or not. Our work has been to make sure our standards are clear across teachers. So if you teach algebra, all students in algebra are learning the same standards and being graded in a similar manner. And I would say that our high school is probably ahead of many high schools in Maine because of that start with that goal right from the inception of the school. They hired people that had the common philosophy and wanted to be proficiency-based teachers, and we continue to hire people with that philosophy. So I think we're, like all others, we're constantly growing and improving in the way that we identify the standards, making sure our common assessments align with the rigor of the standards. And that's where we are as a district, and we are certainly continuing our work in that area.
Betsy Webb, superintendent of the Bangor School Department. How has the Bangor School Department adopted proficiency-based education? Where would you say you are in the process? Are you there? Are you working towards getting there? And what does there mean?
That's a great question, and I really believe that all Maine high schools and school systems are in the process. I don't believe anybody is there at this point. Certainly the first year that the state requires high school students to demonstrate proficiency in order to earn a diploma in the four core, which would be English Language Arts, Math, Science, and Social Studies, will be the class of 2021. Similar to Poland, the Bangor School Department for more than a decade has been using a proficiency-based model. We happen to use a blended system where students still at the high school level earn credits and grades, but they also must demonstrate proficiency. And for 10 years or more, we have been requiring proficiency in English Language Arts, Mathematics, and Science. Really, where our work is at this point is trying to track student by student. What do they know? What are they able to demonstrate proficiency in? What do they not know? And where do we focus our instruction to get them to the highest possible level?
In Bangor, you say you have credits and grades, but you also have students meet proficiency. How do you measure whether they've met proficiency? Are you giving them a test in addition to the kinds of midterms and exams students traditionally expect in high school?
What we do is we embed multiple demonstrations. It might be through a paper and pencil or a computerized test. It also may be a project. But those are like experiences that are embedded right in our coursework. And although I've seen some districts define proficiency as a discrete list of skills, we're looking for an integrated approach that really demonstrates the guiding principles. So we want to see over time students being able to solve real world problems to demonstrate that they have met that proficiency. So, for example, if they're doing a unit on water pollution, they would not only be able to demonstrate science proficiency, but also mathematics, information literacy skills, their English language arts skills. So we're really looking to best prepare them in order to be college and career ready.
Eric, it sounds to me from what I'm hearing that each district gets to decide what proficient means in that district. So I'm guessing there may be great variation from district to district in defining proficiency. Is that how this is working out?
Yes, we found in our research that the exact definition or the benchmark possibly that districts decide this is what a student must get to in order to earn a high school diploma in this content area can vary. And I think that that is one of the things, as Betsy's reference to the very complex and really interesting process that they go through in Bangor, makes it challenging both to research as well as to develop policy and to just implement and to do or talk about in terms of neighboring districts, is because Maine has done a very good job of saying we don't want this to boil down to one test. And that has been a very powerful message that has been upheld by community members and heard by policymakers. But that also ends up meaning that a lot of local determinations are different in terms of thinking about what a child must demonstrate in order to graduate from high school. And that can make for complicated conversation across districts with collaboration. There is some commonality that is being achieved with various organizations who have developed some elements of common standards that different districts use. Some schools use the Common Core, but there was some reference in research several years ago that said if you actually did like every standard for 1 week in the Common Core, it would take you 32 years to get through the Common Core.
Oh my goodness.
So it isn't necessarily something that you, it's a very complex document that can't just be easily implemented day to day. So teachers and districts have worked really hard to create their own interpretation, but remain true to the basic standard.
Tina, I want to ask you about Poland's high school in your RSU 16. Betsy said that in Bangor they're doing credits and grades side by side with proficiency. Do students in the high school in Poland still receive credits and grades, A, B, C, D, or not?
Well, it sounds like we're in a similar situation that Bangor School Department is. They don't receive an A, B, C, D, but they do receive credits, and we require 24 credits for a diploma, and they receive a proficiency-based grade. So it will say that they are proficient or they're not. We do.
Are those the only two categories, proficient or not, or is there a proficient with distinction and things like that?
Yeah, there's a proficient with distinction. We have, I think, four levels, a rating scale of four. And so students get a proficiency grade along with credits. And we have done that mostly for our outside audience. So for colleges, it makes parents more comfortable when there's a typical transcript for students. So we have not turned our transcript into a proficiency-based transcript in its most pure sense, but we do grade on proficiency in our grading system. So we have a report card that it is standards-based, and students will get grades through from their teachers. All assignments have standards assigned to them, and they will get proficiency-based grading. But our transcript is not necessarily aligned with that.
So a high school senior applying to college, what does his or her transcript look like? Does it look the same as from the high school in South Carolina that student may be competing with for a spot in college?
It looks very similar. It will say that they took, if they took calculus, it will say calculus. It will have the rating scale that they got in calculus, and it will have the credits identified that they earned in math, science, social studies.
But that rating will not be an A, B, or C. It'll be something else.
Correct. I can't remember the exact language because I don't work with the report card or the transcript in that sense, but it has a level for being exceeding the standards, for meeting the standards, and partially meeting.
And has that been an issue for students applying to college? Have you seen any difference in the colleges that students from your school district are accepted into since implementing the new system?
No, there's been no – colleges seem to have no problem with the proficiency grading system, and I'm sure part of that is because we're very clear with our explanation of what those ratings mean. And also, we do feel like it is probably helpful that they are earning credits along with demonstrating their proficiency.
All right. I'd like to bring Julia Lefevre into the conversation. She's a seventh grade math and science teacher at Mahoney Middle School in South Portland. Hi, Julia. Are you there?
Yes. Hi. How are you doing?
Great. How has it been for you as a teacher to put the new system into action?
It's been a little bit of work, but I really truly believe that it is what's best for the students. So it's worth all the work that we are putting into it.
How is it different now than it was before in the middle school where you teach?
Well, it's interesting because I'm a relatively new teacher, so this is pretty much all that I have known. But the things that are the same or what I think proficiency looks like to me as a teacher is the students are now given clear learning targets. They really know what they're working towards. They know the steps on how to get to those targets. We separate habits of work, which is a little bit different than what we used to do. So if you handed something in late, that's tracked separately from your content grade. They also have chances to have kind of the practice and the game, the formatives and the summatives. So they get a chance to say, am I getting there? Am I getting there? Am I getting there before you actually assess them on it? And they have multiple opportunities. They get, just as they said, the other person said before, you have multiple demonstrations to learn. It's not as traditional. It's no longer necessarily a whole period text. It may be a project. It may be a conference. It could be a conversation. It could just be samples of work, bodies of evidence. There's lots of different ways that they can show us what they learn.
You say that you're a relatively new teacher. This is the kind of education you learned when you went back to school to become a teacher. What about your colleagues who have been teachers 20 and 30 years? Are they as excited, as much true believers in this system as you are?
It sometimes does take a little bit of getting used to. As I hear in education, things have come and gone and come and gone, and they're wondering if this is something that's going to come and go and come and go. But our district is pretty adamant that even if the law were to change and we weren't required to do this, this is something that we truly feel is best for students. So I think it's a lot of work for teachers. It takes time to fully understand. We call them learning targets, essential learning targets. It's our standards. It takes time to truly understand the targets that you're teaching and then put them in kid-friendly language that students can understand. So it's work on the teacher's part to do that, a lot more work. It takes time to make sure that our assessments are actually asking what we need them to know. We talked, it was mentioned before, about how, our school's using all the same standards. And yes, if you're basing them off of main learning results or Common Core, they're the same standards. But what are different is the rigor level. How hard is it? If you're assessing a student on multiplication or with decimal multiplication, are you assessing them that you just write down a problem and they can solve it and that's proficient? Or do they need to do it in context of a word problem? Or does it have to be a complex context? So all of that is work for the teacher to figure out, how am I going to assess this? How am I going to truly know that the student is showing me what they need to know?
Well, go ahead.
No, and then also just the data. There is a lot of data. There's, doing these assessments and figuring out if they're proficient and if they're getting there. So that takes a lot of time to do that also.
Well, Julie Lefevre, thanks so much for joining us. Julie Lefevre teaches seventh grade math and science at Mahoney Middle School in South Portland. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do the law firm of Eaton Peabody's Financial Institutions Group, working to provide effective counsel to meet demands of 21st century banking clients. And the Natural Resources Council of Maine. Maine people protecting the nature of Maine, now more than ever. Learn more at nrcm.org.
A eulogy for the VCR and the BlackBerry keyboard, and a death wish for another tech device.
I think the fax machine should stop being made.
Why some tech is easy to part with and others not so much.
It's just ridiculous. I hate that stupid thing.
Saying goodbye to technology, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
And you can join us starting at 4 o'clock this evening here on Maine Public Radio. Maine Public Radio would like to remind all teachers and educators that there is a valuable educational resource you may be interested in. Our PBS Learning Media Service contains extensive digital and classroom-ready resources. This free K-12 educational resource can be found online at mpbn.net and is aligned with Common Core and national standards. PBS Learning Media, online at mpbn.net.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Implementing Proficiency-Based Education. With me in our studio, Erica Stump is a research associate with the Center for Education Policy at USM. Tina Meserve is the superintendent of RSU 16 in Poland. Joining us from our Bangor studio, Betsy Webb. She is superintendent of the Bangor School Department. And on the line with us, we just said goodbye to Julia Lefevre, seventh grade teacher at Mahoney Middle School. We invite you to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mpbn.net. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. And I think I'll start with a tweet. This person asks, what scholarly research supports PBE, not studies that support slices of PBE? Like GSP, and I'm sure you guys know what that is, but the whole program.
Sure. I think that the difficulty in answering that question, a lot of times people say, ask us as researchers, can you tell us if it works? And our response is always, well, it depends on how you define it, and it depends on how you define works. So, there is certainly scholarship that identifies some of the practices that are being adopted by various schools and some significant improvement in standardized testing scores. But there's also mixed research, and it really depends upon the context as well as the needs of the school. What we have found a lot in our research is that different schools have adopted different approaches to the law, that they are implementing the law as they should be. But for example, talking about the grading system, some districts have chosen to change to a 1-4 grading system because they believe that it helps to align their curriculum. Some have chosen not to do that because they are able to retain some of the traditional aspects of their school that have worked for them. So when it is already working, a lot of times people will not make as many changes. So it's hard to say what does and doesn't work because the context of schooling is and should be very different depending on the student body and the past performance and the work being done. But there is definitely some research that indicates that some of the aspects are working, but there isn't a common kind of research that says all aspects of proficiency-based education, if you do all these things, you will do better. There isn't anything that definitively says that.
So why do it?
Because some of the pieces do work. So I think that different schools have different aspects of needs and things that they want to do better. And this is an approach to do that. But I also think that there are some challenges that we've seen in our research. People say, for example, earlier mentioned was a data management system, that if you are not provided with the infrastructure and the district-wide systemic support to do the work, it will not work. So that it is important. There is research that says that sometimes this doesn't work, and sometimes that means that some of those aspects are not in place that really have to happen for any kind of reform to work.
I'm going to go to Kathleen calling from Cape Elizabeth. Hi, Kathleen. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to agree with the teacher from South Portland, the amount of time it takes individually assess and record so many discrete skills so often. And that takes away time from teaching and also time from planning. But the thing that I was most concerned about was, since the standard now of is going to be so high, even though it's not really standardized across the state, I don't know how that will happen, but if the standard is every child has to get an A or a B, and we know it from our own personal experience, everyone in your class was not capable of an A or a B, what happens to the children who don't get a diploma?
That's a great question. I'm going to ask both our superintendents. Betsy, up in Bangor, would you like to respond first? How about kids who do not meet the standards, who do not or are not ruled proficient in all eight of the standards? What happens in your school district?
It,
Bangor is very concerned about that. In fact, we have testified in front of the legislature trying to really focus on the core four and then allow students to certainly be educated in the other four, but that to demonstrate proficiency is a higher standard, and we think that those should be areas of passion. If you don't know, in the math standards for the state of Maine, some of those standards are higher than what the entrance expectations are for the community college level. I'm very concerned about that. Have spent a lot of time trying to educate others that I believe that standard is too high, and that is based on research from across the country, Texas, Arkansas, California, I believe Florida, and I know that numerous university professors do not feel that Algebra 2 must be a proficiency in order to earn a high school diploma. In fact, they would argue that consumer statistics may be a more appropriate top-level math for high school students. The way the law is written right now, what we will do is we will offer certificates of completion. That is not our desire. We hope to continue to help share data and research that shows that some of those standards may need to be adjusted. I mean, if we look at world languages, that's another concern. I really think that our state would be better served to have a common definition of college and or career ready, and that if we had every student graduating from high school with a future plan, whatever plan is appropriate for them for their career and their post-secondary learning opportunities, that we would do very well as a state. And I just think it would be a shame to not have students earn a diploma because they are unable to demonstrate proficiency, which is very different than earning a grade. As the listener from Cape Elizabeth said, you know, to truly be proficient is very different than just getting a passing grade.
And what about in Poland, Tina? What happens to a student who is not deemed proficient in one of the core areas?
Since we have basically been a standards-based school department since 1999, we have never given diplomas for students who are not meeting our basic standard requirements. So if a student is in our functional life skills program, they would get a certification of attendance when they complete their 4 years or 5 years with the district. I think it's a lot different, though, when you're right now with the idea of we're setting new proficiency levels and grading students on each standard, because we require all students to meet all standards with a 2.5 or better. That's where we've set our proficiency. And so our work is to identify early any student who isn't meeting that standard and to provide additional support for that student with the goal of making sure our students are prepared to graduate. And, of course, until 2021 comes, we won't know the implications of this new law. But we do have tutoring labs for students, and we do have a grading system, a standards-based grading system, so parents and students, teachers can see quickly any standard that student is not meeting and receive additional support for that. And
when you say receive additional support, do you have students repeating subjects and graduating instead of age 18, age 19, age 20, age 21 in order to be able to meet the standards?
We certainly have some students who need a fifth year of high school to meet the standards. We do offer, we don't necessarily require students to retake a whole course because they may be passing three quarters or, you know, 80% of the standards and only need to work on a small portion of standards. So we have summer school, and this year's the first year we've started offering that for free. And students know that there are certain standards they didn't meet, and they come to summer school until they're met. So some of them might come for 3 days to work on one particular standard. Some of them may need to be there for 4 weeks to make up a larger block of standards. So it is an ongoing process. It's not perfect yet, and the full consequences of a standards-based requirement by the state is still unknown to us. As Betsy said, we're certainly worried about foreign language because we, you know, have required in the past 2 years of a foreign language, and we know that, you know, they're not probably going to be at a proficiency level that the state has recommended with that short amount of time. And there's a shortage of foreign language teachers. So we have an open position right now we can't fill, which means we're not going to get everybody in foreign language that needs it. So we are hoping that in the future there will be some consideration for the subjects beyond the core four.
So a shortage of foreign language teachers, never mind foreign language teachers who have been schooled in proficiency-based education and new philosophy in education. Betsy, I want to bump it back up to you and ask you, in Bangor, are there students who are taking an extra year, or do you foresee that being the reality, a fifth year or possibly a sixth year of high school as proficiency-based education becomes the way of education in Maine?
Absolutely. And like Poland, I certainly want to share that there are so many wonderful aspects of proficiency-based education. And I don't believe there's an educator out there who would argue against higher standards and better preparing students. But we do have to be clear that there are some issues that we're going to have to better understand and figure out with resources and time and energy. But like Poland, we are trying, and I think we're better at it, of putting in an accommodation or a resource as soon as the learner starts to struggle. And, you know, I kind of laugh, but we have before school, after school, Saturday school, vacation school, summer school. And, you know, there's this urgency among students and faculty that we have to move students along that progression towards proficiency.
Let me ask you about funding. You're having before school, after school, summer school. More is being asked of your teachers. Are the schools, and I have a feeling I know the answer to this question, being provided more resources to do all of these things?
No, we are not. It's pretty difficult because we continue to have to do more with less. And certainly the teacher from South Portland is correct that it's when you have to go student by student in tracking learning objectives and moving them along that proficiency trajectory, it's time consuming. And there are great things about it, for sure. But it takes more resources, and we've had to be very creative about that. My budget over 8 years has had an average annual increase of under 1%. So,
Kathleen, thank you for your question. We're going to move to Portland and Brad. Hi, Brad. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So I think it's wonderful that we're trying to address the issues with education, but overall I feel like this is just another Band-Aid put on the overall problem. We tend to teach our children towards one particular tunnel vision of kind of career sets. So we're teaching a program and saying, let's say this is a tree, we have a monkey, we have a giraffe, and we have an elephant. Whoever can climb the tree the best is the winner, and that's how we're going to continue to teach our system. But it doesn't really teach overall to the different kinds of learning styles that our children are going through. If we had a discovery-based learning system at a younger age to try to figure out what the students were actually interested in and then create an IEP, an individualized education program towards the actual student, then I find that the children would learn better because learning can't be forced. You can't force learning on somebody. They have to be actually interested in the subject in order for them to retain the information, in order for them to feel like they've accomplished something throughout their educational goals.
Okay, Brad. Erica, would you like to, do you have thoughts about Brad's?
Sure. I think that one of the philosophies under standards-based or even proficiency-based is to individualize the educational experience for students more. And I think that raises a really interesting conversation. I think that one of the things we've seen across the state in our research from the past 4 years We've really had the opportunity to go into schools and ask teachers and students and school board members and administrators what the challenges and facilitators of doing this work is, and taking their voices right to the education committee of the legislature. And that allows us to hear both the things that are difficult and across the state what's happening. And what we do see is that in the past, we've sort of tried to pretend that their students may not be failing, or we know they're failing and we don't do a whole lot about it. And I think this opportunity has brought that conversation from under the table to the top of the table. So now we are saying these students are not meeting a standard. And therefore we are, but then as we've brought up before, that is then saying, okay, now what do we do about it? And we don't always have the resources or the time to individualize. So as the caller mentioned, it would be great in some situations to have an individualized opportunity. But some teachers actually, especially in early childhood, are saying that individualization is not their goal. It's more of a community-based learning approach and to have a sense of self among a group and among a communal understanding. And I think that I think those philosophies are now being brought forward, and that's making for some really great debate, both at the local level as well as across the state and among policymakers.
Brad, thanks for your call. We do have to take another short break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. Please stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Casella, dedicated to improving air quality for all Mainers through a commitment to reduce its carbon footprint. Casella, giving resources new life. In most areas of Maine, over the air or on digital cable, you can watch not one but three Maine public television channels. In addition to our main channel, we also offer World and Create. World explores our world through many of your favorite programs, such as the NewsHour and Nova, and at different, perhaps more convenient, times of the day. Create is our how-to channel with cooking, carpentry, travel, gardening, painting, and craft programs. If you'd like more information about World or Create, including how to find them, see your experience member guide, visit mpbn.net and click on television, or call MPBN Audience Services at 1-800-884-1717. Thanks. Coming up in just a few minutes at 2 o'clock, we'll have ideas from the CBC. Ideas will look at wildfires. They're bigger, faster, and hotter than before, torching more of our world. What's fueling this increase in firepower? Ideas explores the factors altering how we have to live with wildfire. New technology and new ways to think about fire and its behavior could save lives. That's World on Fire from Ideas from the CBC, coming up in just a few minutes at 2 o'clock right here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, proficiency-based education. How is it playing out in our schools? Joining me today, Betsy Webb, who is superintendent of the Bangor School Department, Erica Stump, research associate with USM's Center for Education Policy, Tina Meserve, superintendent of RSU 16 in Poland. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. 566. We're going to go to Caribou and Jamie. Hi, Jamie. Go ahead.
Hello, Jennifer. Thank you for taking my call. First, I do want to say that I have utmost respect for teachers and anyone in the educational system. I've always said that next to a parent is the most important job that there is. That being said, my concern, I'll be as brief as I can, but that has to do with the inequality of resources and educational experiences that's available to students. And this came to light to me a couple of years ago when I was in Boston and having breakfast down the Beacon Hill area, and just noticed that there was a couple of young people carrying the walking the students through the area. And to me, you can't tell me that those students and those people in that situation are going to have a much richer, more, you know, more access to a lot more experience and resources than a lot of other people. And that's where the money comes in and all that. And I just, my concern is that education should be absolutely equal across the board. Every single student, regardless of the location in the state of Maine that they are in, should have the exact same resources or that those experiences that are available to the other students.
Jamie, I think a lot of people agree with you, and even though if the resources are the same, if you can't hire a language teacher, it doesn't matter, does it? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with Jamie. It is challenging, particularly for rural school departments, to compete with more affluent school districts. So a lot of times a teacher will come to us and say they're, you know, tendering their resignation because they've gotten another position maybe 30 or 40 minutes away that is a $10,000 increase. And so we are not going to attract a foreign language teacher when there's a shortage, when they can make a lot more money in Southern Maine.
And the school funding formula is designed to address that. And in Maine's has been ruled among the most equitable in the nation, but it still doesn't always go far enough, does it? And the fact is that the state does not fund at 55% as it has committed to.
I think there's also elements of equity is certainly an issue in standards-based education and proficiency-based education. Nationally, people are looking to it to try to equalize a little bit more. However, one of the things that I think is interesting is the equity isn't always equal, so that some student may need more resources to get to the same place than another student. And many teachers in our research were concerned that if you were giving, for example, students the opportunity to do more individualized student-paced work where they would kind of go on their own or use their own resources, that would only bring forth the inequities, whereas if you made everyone read the same book, you handed out the book and everybody had an equal sort of opportunity. But I believe that again, this is bringing to the top of the table that issue. And so that it is raising the issue of inequity in some places, but I think that issue has always been there. Proficiency-based education isn't causing it, but it is putting it under a microscope.
Jamie, thank you for your question. Here's a part of an email from Andrea. What about a gifted student who, say, enters middle school already able to meet the middle school standards, or who may only need 2 years of high school to meet the standards, or for that matter, comes into first grade at a fourth grade math level? And we have been talking about how standards-based education, proficiency-based education is designed for the students who in a traditional environment may have failed or either gotten a degree he or she didn't deserve, been passed through, and it's really designed to help those students who have been passed by in the past. But what about kids on the other end of the spectrum? How does it help them, or does it help them? Betsy.
Great question. We believe that you have to accelerate at the moment a learner is able to handle that acceleration. And we do have middle school students that have already demonstrated proficiency in a number of the standards. And so with our blended system of credits and grades along with proficiency, they are going to spend 4 years of high school going to the college level. We have academies and concentrations in a number of areas. We have duly enrolled students in college level work at the same time that they're earning high school credit. With our students, many of them earn up to 33 college credits before they graduate from high school. And so I believe this is for every learner, and it better allows us to target learning to provide them those core experiences that are required of all, but also to pursue passions.
So this is interesting. Betsy, I want to ask you, though, it sounds terrific what Bangor is doing and the opportunity for advanced students to take classes at a college level. But is this part of proficiency-based education, or is this part of the philosophy of the Bangor School Department?
I think it is a part of the conversation with proficiency as well. Certainly when you're looking at college-ready indicators, often what we are looking for is that they are duly enrolled. And it's not just for advanced students. We have been successful with CTE, and certainly some of those students are advanced, but earning credit at the community college level as well as at the university level. So I think if we do that, they are going to have better success when they get to a post-secondary learning institute.
Great. I have an email from Doug. He writes, to what extent do the new standards address soft skills, what some call life skills or job skills, such as teamwork and collaboration, grit, curiosity, empathy, problem solving, perseverance, independence, confidence, and time management?
Well, there are certainly in the main learning results the guiding principles which address these issues. And I think that just recently in the last couple of years, we have seen many school districts in our research who have really highlighted the need to not allow these skills to drop by the wayside. And I think that is one of the things that makes this program in Maine really unique, is that teachers and administrators and policymakers have really said, we're not letting this go. And we really want to be able to build programs and accountability for students' ability to be members of the community, as well as skills that will allow them to integrate the work that they do in various areas, as well as to build a sense of self and confidence. And those are, I mean, there's lots of research right now around all of those different terms and what do they mean and can you measure them? And I think that they're really challenging, but I do think that, again, one of the things Maine teachers and educators are doing is trying to make, or they are making sure that the habits of mind, it's often called, or habits of work that are encompassed by the guiding principles are things that our students get credit for, not just course credit, but are given the opportunity to demonstrate that they can do.
Okay, we're going to go to Sydney, who's calling from Manchester. Hi, Sydney. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling. I'm a sophomore at the University of Maine in Orono, and I have a younger brother and younger sister who are currently going through the school system right now and are dealing with the Common Core based standards. And my question is why we can't include more of the students who are actually being put through these Common Core standards into the conversation about proficiency learning and Common Core standards, because after all, it is the students who are the ones that are, learning and being put these education standards onto. And I know that for me, growing up without the Common Core and now seeing my brother and sister go through it, it's very different, and they're learning differently, and I'm not sure if they're learning the same amount or to the same rigorous standards that I was. And I think that it's something to really be to be thought about, because right now they're being put through these newfangled ideas about Common Core standards that currently we don't know how they're going through the workforce. We don't know.
So, Sydney, is your sense from looking at the experience of your younger brother and sister that they are not being held to the same standards that you were when you were their age?
Yes, I think that they are not being held to the same standards. I also think that that because these Common Core standards are so new, we don't yet know the full extent to how to implement them, and that is causing even more turmoil in the middle school and high school and even elementary school standards.
I think you raise a couple interesting points. And Erica, is this something you're hearing when you talk to folks in the field, that there is a concern that this system that's designed to make things in many ways more rigorous is instead doing the opposite?
It depends on who you talk to, and I think Sydney's correct that one of the things that's fantastic about the research we do is we get a chance to talk to the students. And we do interview student groups, and they often say things very different than what their teachers and administrators tell us. So it's an incredibly valuable point of view that we incorporate into a lot of the research that we do. But they do very clearly and articulately talk about sort of a challenge in terms of the rigor and the things that they learn. But it depends upon the student and the school.
And Betsy, what about the second part of her comment that this is creating turmoil for the students? Do we have a generation or a half a generation of kids who are really guinea pigs here?
Well, certainly we know with our world today that in order to have those opportunities after graduation, that we do need higher levels of math and we do need soft skills, and you need to be an effective communicator. And, you know, I think it is a good thing to give a learner as many tools as possible so that they can choose whatever they want to. But I agree with Sydney that students are having, I mean, if you look at the Algebra 2 requirement, it really means that by eighth grade, you need to be in pre-algebra or Algebra 1. And so that's a higher standard. And, you know, we have to be creative in figuring out ways to provide multiple measures and alternative learning styles in order to get students there. But clearly, it's different from when Sydney went to school. It's even more different from when we all went to school. I think that one way that we're trying to have the student voice is to have personal learning plans for all students from grade 4 to high school so that we can talk about areas of strength, areas that need to continue to develop. We can talk about passions. We can talk about dreams and trying to help students create a vision of where they want to go in the future. And obviously in fourth grade, that is not put into cement. That is very flexible, and everybody has different dreams that come and go. But we want students to have that voice to be able to talk to parents and teachers alike about how is the process of learning working for them.
Well, Sydney, it's a great question. Thank you for your call. And you're going to have to be the last call. What a quick hour. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you, Betsy Webb,
who you just heard from, superintendent of the Bangor School Department. Erica Stump, a research associate with the Center for Education Policy at the University of Southern Maine. And Tina Meserve is superintendent of RSU 16 in Poland. Nikki Shields ran the board today. Allie Burns answered your calls. We had additional help from Robbie Feinberg and from George Thomas in Bangor. You can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as a link to our audio archives at mainecalling.net. Today's rebroadcast will be rebroadcast this evening at 8. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, join me for a conversation about how new funding methods are changing the way people are financing their businesses. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.